pray that this living and active word would be at work today in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over recent weeks, we've been highlighting the importance of setting our minds on things above, where Christ is and where we are in Him. And Christians are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that means for us to be able to say that we are seated with Christ, we have to also agree, therefore, that we have died with Christ. And having died to living our lives by the way we see and feel, like the unbelievers do. So if we're claiming to be seated with Christ, the other side of the coin is that we have to be saying that we have died to living our lives by the way we see, by the way we see and feel, as the unbelievers do. Having died with Christ, we have been raised with Him to sit at God's right hand. But we need to unlearn the ways of the world. Yes. You know, when you think about it, when you became a Christian, whatever year it was, whatever age you were, you had all of the years before where the world was teaching you how to think and how to do things. And now you've got to unlearn the ways of the world and to see our lives and events on earth, the vantage point that we have seated with Christ in heavenly places, always remembering that Jesus rules over all things. And because of Him, we have access to the Father. But this isn't actually possible in our own strength to set our minds on things above. As John said last week, we actually need supernatural power to do it. Which is why the Apostle Paul said, be continually being filled or influenced by the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not being continually being filled by the Holy Spirit, we cannot set our minds on things above. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to enable, equip, and empower. I think we've been using these words since Shiloh was set up. To set our minds on things above and to live what we would think is the victorious Christian life. But the victorious Christian life isn't about jumping up and down and praising and having these grins on our face 24 hours a day and just so in love with Jesus that the world thinks these people are bonkers. It's not about that. The victorious Christian life isn't about all of these cheesy grins. It's not about the charismatic smiles on our faces. It's about being filled with the Spirit, even in our troubles. If you're here this morning and you're troubled about something, you're probably still going to leave troubled. Those troubles may not have changed, but being filled with the Spirit, you may see them from a different perspective. We know that we're continually filled with the Spirit when the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, when in every circumstance and life challenge that we can learn to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other, speaking God's truth and promises into our lives. There was a woman, when asked how she was doing, always responded, I'm doing well in the things that count. I wonder, does anybody know who that woman would be? See, I think one person might know who it would be this morning. There's one person maybe in Shiloh, and they probably don't even realise that they know who this woman is. When asked, how you doing? I'm doing well in the things that count. My guess would have been that Jenny would have known who this person is. See, the woman is called Helen Howarth Lemmel. Do you know her, Jenny? Interesting. She was the daughter of an English Methodist minister and was a brilliant, beautiful singer. She married a wealthy man who abandoned her when she became blind. And that was just one of the many heartaches that Helen suffered in life. People who knew her felt awful sorry for her and would kindly ask how she was doing. And she always responded, I'm doing well in the things that count. If people ask me how I'm doing, my answer usually is, I'm still among the living in the land of the dead. I'm doing well in the things that count. See, the things that counted for Helen were her relationship with Jesus and her service to him. And in 1918, at 55 years old and blind, she wrote the words or the chorus of one of her many hymns and songs. She wrote these words, a blind woman. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Words penned by a blind woman. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. From a blind woman. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Helen speaks in that sense as the Apostle Paul did. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your minds on things above. With all her suffering and life challenges, Helen Lemmel could not, under any circumstances, certainly physically, she could not have turned her eyes on Jesus in her own strength. It required supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help her to see things from her vantage point in Christ. So how are you doing this morning? Are you doing well in the things that count? Let's read Psalm 45 together this morning. Psalmist writes these words. My heart is overflowing with a goodly theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I wonder how many of us this morning we could say our tongues were like the pen of a ready writer as we sang the songs unto the Lord, ascribing greatness to our God. Verse 2. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honourable women. At your right hand stands to the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. Helen Howarth Lemmel asks us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look to him. You see, she saw him as her Savior and Lord, and yet a blind woman. But with the supernatural power of the Spirit, she could say, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into his face. In this messianic psalm, we are asked to see the Lord in a different light. See, originally it was written quite possibly for a royal wedding, and the song tells of the kingly bridegroom riding out in all his glorious splendor. He's got the best of his gear on with his entourage to fetch his beautiful bride and bring her back to his home, where there would be a wedding feast which could last for days or for weeks. A wonderful, wonderful celebration. And in the psalm, the bridegroom is described as the fairest of the sons of men, upon whose lips grace has been poured, and therefore, the psalmist writes, God has blessed him. We're told that he's robed in majesty and he has his sword at his side. His fragrance, even the smell of him, we're told, is beautiful. His throne is established forever because the psalmist tells us he is God, loves truth, righteousness and humility. The scepter of his kingdom is one of righteousness. All his enemies fall before him. Then we're told this: his bride is beautiful and gloriously robed in gold and in many colors. And she is greatly desired by the king, and she worships him. And she is advised, forget the past, worship the king and look forward. And she comes to meet him, entering his palace with gladness and with singing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on things above. You see, early believers, under the influence, under the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, had their eyes enlightened to see Jesus the Messiah seated at God's right hand as the bridegroom of the church. And this is what Psalm 45 is fundamentally about. It's about Jesus the King coming for his bride, the church. And under the influence of the Spirit, the early believers could see that the church on earth was the bride of Christ. They set their minds on things above, where Christ is watching and waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, coming to fetch his bride and to take her home to the wedding feast and to dwell with him forever. Beautiful. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, please. And in verse 17, we read these words. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that is, be continually being filled the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You can nearly see the rebellion rising up in the women. It really takes supernatural power for believers to be wise and to understand what the will of the Lord is. The unbelievers cannot and will not understand what the will of the Lord is. And the strangest thing is, and you might find this hard to believe, but the vast majority, in fact, all of the unbelievers out there in the world are doing the will of God. But they're doing it unwillingly and unwittingly. Because everything that's happening is moving to the great crescendo where the bridegroom is coming for his bride. It really takes supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit for believers, for Christians to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. It takes the same power of the Holy Spirit to enable us in whatever circumstances we face to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to each other when we face life's challenges. We need this enabling power to give thanks to God in all things, for all things. But boy, it must take some power for husbands and wives to see their marriage as little types of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. And yet, that is what marriage is supposed to be like, a type of Jesus and his church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. What did Jesus have to do for the church? He had to give his life. He had to die for the church. Husbands are to love their wives in that sense that you would die for them because of your love for them. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Well, then you're to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It's not easy for Christians to live like this, submitting to one another in the fear of God, being wise and understanding what the will of God is. But the Apostle Paul and Helen Lemmel tells us how to do it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. See that wee bit of rebellion where the woman doesn't want to submit to the husband? Turn your eyes to Jesus. Makes it a lot easier. For when the husband is getting annoyed very much and doesn't want to love his wife in the way that he should, turn your eyes upon Jesus and love your wife that you're prepared to die for her. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. Then the things of earth, the things on this life that we face, the life challenges, the daily circumstances that we face, grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your minds on things above. You see, you need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to live this way, which is why John has been saying over the past 2 weeks, this is the one thing needful, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we need him to remind us how loved we are. Isn't that incredible? We need the Holy Spirit to remind us how loved we are, and that we too should forget the past, worship our King, and look forward, because our bridegroom is coming. We need the Holy Spirit to show us Jesus, the bridegroom, preparing to return for his beautiful bride, the church. See, all our suffering here on earth, it's simply the bride making herself ready for her bridegroom, who is the fairest of the sons of men, and who is coming in glorious splendor to fetch her and take her home to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So how are you doing this morning? Are you doing well in the things that count? What really counts in life is our relationship with Jesus and our service to him. Are you doing well in the things that count? Psalm 45 tells us, and we need to continually remind each other, we are greatly, greatly loved, greatly desired by our glorious King, who's coming to take us home. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to to set our minds on things above, forgetting the past, worshipping our King, and looking forward together. We need to be inspiring one another with these wonderful truths as we journey through life, awaiting what the Bible describes as our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And when he comes, we will enter his palace with gladness and rejoicing. Now, maybe this morning, if I asked you the question, how are you doing? Maybe the answer is, I'm not doing well in the things that count. Don't ever doubt the Lord's love for you. You are greatly loved and greatly desired by the King. And he is going to complete what he has started. Listen again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Forget the past. Worship the King. And look forward. Because he's coming for you. Pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful truth this morning from Psalm 45. Behold, our King is coming. We are greatly loved, greatly desired by the King. And though the enemy, Lord, would bog us down with life challenges and circumstances and make us, Lord, be distracted from that truth that our glorious King is coming in all of his splendor to take us home. Help us, Lord, please, to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Grant us, Lord, continually that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, remembering that wonderful truth. We are greatly loved, greatly desired by our King, who's coming to take us home. If a blind woman like Helen Howarth Lemmel could supernaturally, by the power of the Spirit, say, turn your eyes upon Jesus, Lord, please grant us that same supernatural power, that we could behold his face. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen.